Welcome to Sex Positive Talk. My name is Angel. I use she, they pronouns, and I'm broadcasting out of Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center. Our show today, we're talking about what it's like to, as an adult, discover or maybe accept your queerness in a society that still lacks for queer representation. And it's a heavy topic, but it's also kind of a fun one because everybody experiences it differently. And I think a lot of people in my age group have had this situation. Like, I find people over that 35 to like 65 often come out to themselves later in life than what we're seeing happen with Gen Z, which, yay for Gen Z. I'm so excited. But this isn't getting talked about very much. Like, people talk about being in the closet their whole life. But how about if you didn't even know you were in the closet, right? Like, you weren't completely aware of it. So just for the record, I'm sitting here with Joe, who's a friend of mine from like way back. Mm-hmm. And we've certainly managed to talk a lot about this. I'm the program administrator here at ASPEC, where I would say at least once or twice a month, an adult comes out to me and it's the first time they've realized that they're not exactly straight or cis. Wow. Right? And like, watching people discover that for themselves is just incredibly intense, because I was in my 40s before I realized that I was not straight. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, it was a real shocker. Like, it was a huge shocker. And the more we run ASPEC, the more we meet other adults that are like, I didn't really get it either. Yeah. How about for you? I mean, you don't identify as straight, correct?
I don't identify as bisexual.
So, sorry, I interrupted you. So you say you don't identify as straight.
I don't identify as bisexual. My journey in that has been a very strange one. I always knew that I didn't fit in with the expected roles in society, but I really didn't understand why or how. I didn't have language for it. I knew what bisexuality was. I remember very clearly being asked at one point if I was bisexual. But it's one thing to understand a word. It's another thing to understand sort of what it means. And I don't think a person can really understand what it means unless they listen to people who identify it and have that experience. And I didn't do that until well into my late 20s, early 30s.
But even when you're listening, though, you have to be willing to think about how that applies to yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And go on.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. It's listening and understanding, and listening with the intent to understand, because it took a while before I was willing to ask, like, does this explain me? Is this part of me? But that came sort of as a natural evolution of, I'm listening to people who don't have the same experience I'm having. What kind of experience are they having? Oh, wait, that actually is kind of like my experience.
And I think, like, when I was growing up, the first time I heard the word bisexual, it was a person on TV, and they were talking about how people who are afraid to admit that they're gay often use bisexual, because at least if they're still attracted to women, it's okay.
Yes.
If they dally occasionally with men. Because then you're just, you know, experimentative or whatever.
Almost always applied to men, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, because women aren't ever really gay unless their male partner wants them to pretend they're gay because it's fun to watch two women together.
Yes. Or it's ever really straight, which is another half of that I find really creepy.
It's strange, yeah.
Creepy.
And, for me, I mean, and it's really odd because I actually had a girlfriend when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
But it was after I was assaulted. Mm. And so I always assumed it was just a way of being able to reconnect with my own sexual self in a way that didn't feel dangerous. And so it never, as an adult, I talked about her. I talked about my relationship with her.
Right.
But I still didn't apply that to my own sexuality.
Yeah. There's, first off, I just a rant, a tiny little rant, very, very quickly. I'm so frustrated anytime I hear somebody try and talk about sexuality in these really complicated psychological terms, like, oh, I'm attracted to this because it's helping me work through blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, you know, that sounds like you're trying to mentally work through an equation that's really just easier if you say, I am not this.
I totally get that. But like, it was, I think for me, it was, you can't admit you're like, not even to yourself. Like,
exactly.
You can't apply this terrible, awful word that would make you the bottom of society.
Yes, exactly.
And when I was that age, like, when you went to counseling, you had to tick a box in your intake form if you had any fantasies or attraction of people of the same sex. Like, it was pathologized.
Yes. Which, quick programming note, most people do.
Most people.
Most people.
Yeah, no, even and if, that's human sexuality studies. I mean, they talk about that a lot, right?
Even if they eventually end up coming to an identity that is straight or heterosexual and they're comfortable with that and it's reality, there's still so much to us.
And it doesn't they're really concrete labels.
Yes.
But that doesn't really sum up the human experience either.
No, exactly.
Right? Yeah, I gotta hit us over to a commercial break, but I am going to come back. You're listening to Sex Positive Talk. My name is Angel.
Give it to me now. Give it to me now. Give it to me now. Give it to me now.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Give it to me now. Give it to me now. Give it to me now.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna you make it so good I don't wanna leave. But I gotta know what's your fantasy.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor.
I wanna get you in the Georgia Dome on a 50-yard line while the Dirty Birds kick the tree. And if you like it in the club, we can do it in the DJ booth or in the back of the VIP. Whipped cream with cherries and strawberries on top. Don't stop. Keep the door locked. Don't knock while the boat rock. We go bots and robots, so they gotta wait till the show stops. Or how about on the beach with black sand? Outside and call me the Pac-Man. Tabletop, just give me the lap dance. The rock to the park to the point to the flatland. That man ain't ludicrous. Woo! In the public bathroom or in the back of the classroom. However you want it. Lover gon' I cast them and I pass them, get a tight grip and I grasp them. I flash them and I'll last them, and if it ain't good, then I trash them. While you stash them, I let them free, and they tell me what's they fantasy. Like up on the roof, tell your boyfriend not to be mad at me. I wanna lick you from your head to your toes, and I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna, you make it so good, I don't wanna leave, but I gotta know what's your fantasy.
Lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. When I wanna, you make it so good. I don't wanna leave, but I gotta know what's your fantasy.
I wanna get you in the bathtub with the candles lit. You give it up till they go out. Or we can do it on stage at the Ludacris concert. Cause you know it got sold out. The red carpet, it just rolled out. Go ahead and scream, you can't hold out. We can do it in the pouring rain. Running the and it's hotter when it's cold out. How about up in the library on top of books, but you can't be too loud. You wanna make a brother beg for it? Give me TLC, cause you know I'll be too proud. We can do it in the White House. Try to make them turn the lights out. Champagne with my campaign. Let me do the damn thing. What's my name? What's my name? What's my name? The sauna, jacuzzi, in the back row at the movie. You can scratch my back and rule me. You can push me and just pull me. On hay in the middle of the barn, the rose petals on the silk seat. Eating fresh fruit, sweep your woman right off of her feet. I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna, you make it so good I don't wanna leave. But I gotta know what's your fantasy.
Lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. When I wanna, you make it so good I don't wanna leave. But I gotta know what's your fantasy.
I wanna get you in the back seat, windows up, that's the way you like them. Clogged up, fog alert, rip the pants and rip the shirt. Make it hurt in the garden, all in the dirt. Roll around, Georgia Brown. That's the way that I like it. Twerk, legs jerk, overwork. Underpaid, but don't be afraid. In the sun or up in the shade. On the top of my Escalade. Maybe your girl and my friend can trade. Off the road, on the ocean or in the boat. Factories are on honey's boats.
What about up in the candy store? That chocolate make it melt. Whips and chains, handcuffs. Little, yeah, with my belt. Scream help, play my game. Dracula, man, I'll get my fangs. Horseback and I'll get my reins. School teacher, let me get my reins. Lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna, you make it so good, I don't wanna leave. But I gotta, know what's your fantasy.
Play with your senses with exotic candles. Exotic candles are made with low temperature wax for a sensual experience that'll stimulate your skin in ways you had never imagined before. And they come in bright colors, some of which react under black light. So let loose your creative side as you explore with these sexy, low temperature candles. You can find them at eroticcandle.com.
GTFOradio.com. Adult entertainment 24/7. GTFOradio.com.
Amazing. All this all work, no vacation. Stay up off my Instagram, pure temptation. Hit a switch on a fake nigga like a station. Sex with me, so amazing. Sex with me, so amazing. Vodka and water and a lemon. And a few other things that can. Feel alright. The sex doesn't get any better. Make it long, let it be all night. I know I make it hard to let go. Tonight, all night, I'm a roll. Even if I'm alone. Sex with me, so amazing. All this all work, no vacation. Stay up off my Instagram, pure temptation. On a fake nigga like a station.
Sex positive talk. My name's Angel. Use she, they pronouns. And today we are talking about discovering who you are sexually, gender based, sexual attraction, all that good stuff. later in life. And we talked a little bit at the start of the show about how the Gen Zers really have a different experience in life, because that information's out there. Yes. And that at different age groups, like people are discovering these things and for different reasons. Mm-hmm. They weren't discovering them when they first started learning about themselves sexually, and it comes later on in life. And Joe and I, we kind of grew up together.
Yes.
Right? Like, yes. Not as children, but as young adults.
Yes.
And it's really fascinating to like bump back into each other in a different environment. It's such a queer environment when we were both definitely presenting as straight. Back in the day, and to ourselves, right? So we were talking a little bit about that, and now joining us is Nyx. Nyx, you use they, them pronouns, and is our current president at ASPEC. So here we're plugging ASPEC again, www.aspecc.ca. Make sure you check us out, buy lots of things, donate, we're a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. You looked like you had things to add to that conversation when you were listening to us talk, so what was going on in your head?
I'm going to start back from when I was a kid first. I knew at a very, very, very young age, like 4, that I was neither a woman nor a man, and I was really not straight. I grew up in a household where homosexuality and bisexuality and all that was okay, until my uncle died. He was gay himself. He ended up dying of AIDS.
I'm so sorry.
In the mid 90s. So that was a thing. And as soon as that happened, a switch was flipped. And all of a sudden the conversation was, homosexuality is wrong. You will get AIDS and die. Blah, 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 blah. So I had to hide what I was and who I was from the people who were supposed to support me.
Yeah.
And I definitely thought I was a lesbian. I had lesbian Barbies. My parents...
Those are the best Barbies.
I actually cut one's hair to look like my grandfather's business partner, who was a lesbian. I cut the Barbie's hair to look like her and named her after her and everything like that.
Nice.
And didn't realize I was interested in men until I fell in love with one in high school who was my beard, and he knew he was my beard, but we ended up developing feelings for each other and then sexual attraction to each other, and then now I'm married to him.
So for anyone who's listening and has never heard that term or has never had it explained to them, can you explain what a beard is?
The way I use it is somebody who is either queer themselves or straight and understand the fact that you are queer and you're dating them to protect your identity from other people realizing who you are. So
thank you.
Yeah.
And that's it's really interesting that all three of us had to like have this whole roundabout journey to figure out who we are.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this the other day. Well, you were here for that meeting. We were talking to somebody who was saying like they were hitting puberty around the time the Kinsey Institute released that spectrum of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And like super cool that the Kinsey Institute did so much about sexuality. But they were talking about how it's a spectrum, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, there might be a few people who are or identify as like absolutely 100% straight, no matter how you phrase the questions, and a few people who are only attracted to people with different genitals than they are. But mm-hmm. most people float around in that middle space.
Yes.
And I know when I was a kid, I was like, well, like, do they do a blood test? Like, how do they figure this out?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, and I honestly, I didn't understand until I was in like second year psychology studies that the meanings behind these labels that we just casually top around are like intensely subjective.
Yes.
Right? Like, and I know you hear this conversation from me a lot. Nyx is like, haha, right? Because, you know, I probably am demisexual and I don't like the labels. So, like, I'm fighting mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how we have these own connotations in our head of what it means.
Yes.
But nobody I talk to who studies sexuality or is asexual defines it with the way my head's defining it. And I can't even put into words what that definition is,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? It's like, so And it's the same working out the whole queerness, right? Like I was saying, I had a girlfriend when I was like, I would have been like 17, 18. Mm-hmm. I had a girlfriend and like we dated for quite a while, actually. And it never occurred to me any of the time I was growing up that that was an indication of being queer. Like yeah. I had written that off as, you know, like a troubling time in my life where I just couldn't deal with men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, never had that problem again. But I'm also intensely loyal. So when I'm in a relationship, yeah. I'm with that person. And mm-hmm. if they're not open to the idea of having relationships with other people, right? So my definition of straight was that I'm in these opposite sex long-term relationships.
Yeah.
But that's not what straight means.
No.
Right? Like when you actually look at... Yeah. No. So like just saying, like we all are stuck with these labels.
But it is also kind of what straight means. Because there's the problem of... What does straight mean to me? What does bisexual mean to me? What does it mean to somebody else? If I say that I'm bisexual, how is somebody else going to treat me because of their impression of what that means? So part of the utility but also problem with labels is that they are a very fast communication.
Dan, I kind of feel like the more I learn about sexuality, the more I feel like when demisexual meets bisexual, that you get pansexual, right?
Yeah.
Because because pan is you're interested in the person, not necessarily what their body parts are. Mm-hmm. And demisexual is you don't really feel attracted to them unless you get to know them. Isn't that kind of the same freaking thing? Except it's you'd be bisexual and demi at the same time.
I struggle with this because I am part of a lot of groups that discuss the difference between yes. pan and bi. Mm-hmm. And
what's the difference?
Well,
like, what's the consensus? Tell us.
So pansexual is you're attracted to any gender. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what's in their pants. It's any gender. Whereas bisexual is attracted to two or more genders.
So what's the difference between that?
For me, and we're going back to that, like, utility of the label, I am not in any way, shape, or form attracted to hyper-masculine men or hyper-feminine women. So I don't fit on the extreme outsides of the thing. I like, and I mean, you can see this in my partners, I like feminine men and masculine women. So...
But I know lots of bisexual people that also aren't attracted to the stereotypes of mm-hmm. genders, but they mm-hmm. identify as bi. So it's like, and I think it's an age thing. Like, I really think it's an age thing because when you talk to people yeah. our age, I'm looking at Joe, who's like closer to my age by far than Nyx is.
Yes.
Nyx is the baby of the room today. They'll just have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But not the baby of the organization, just to be clear. you know, that in our age group, if you were attracted to people with penises and people with vaginas, mm-hmm. you were bi. Except yep. people had this idea that if you lined up 10 people, right, and five were male and five were female, mm-hmm. that you would like one of each.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, you know, you like would, equally.
There's an equal amount, which is...
strange to me. Because if you line up... Like, even when I was believing myself to be straight, mm-hmm. if you were to line up men from, like, the blondest of blonde to the darkest of dark, I wouldn't have a type where I could go, I'll take those four.
Yeah.
You know? And you can see that by looking at the people I've dated, that I don't have a physical type. So, yeah. like, it was really complicated for me to wrap my head around what bi was, mm-hmm. right? And now people are playing with gender in that description.
Yes.
Because gender is something we're learning to understand yes. as separate from sex. So when mm-hmm. I'm talking about bisexual and pansexual, because of my socialization, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about genitals.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm going, as somebody who's bi, you're mm-hmm. attracted to people with penises or vaginas. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who's pan, you don't really care what their body parts are.
Right.
You want them... to be a person that you like.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk to the younger generations, they have a totally different way of looking at those labels. Yes.
Yeah. And just kind of like an issue with what you just said,
mm-hmm.
because not all trans people have the genitals you think they do.
No, absolutely. Yes. But so, like, we didn't know that existed when we were defining these labels for ourselves, right?
That's fair.
Yeah.
So when I first heard the word pansexual, I was reading Laurel K. Hamilton's series on Anita Blake. And I just finished the book in the series where she meets a panwear. Somebody who can change into several different were animals, which is supposed to be impossible because you have one form of lycanthropy, you can't catch others, right? So, like, when I heard pansexual, I was like, one day you wake up straight, the next day you wake up gay, the next day you wake up bi? Like, how does this work, right? Like, I actually thought that was the pan they were referring to. And then I didn't learn about transgender until... God, it had to have been like 4 or 5 years after I'd heard the word pan.
Yeah.
Right? So like for me, they're like so far apart. Yeah. So not disagreeing with you that, you know, that's problematic, but it's like I still, when someone says I'm bi, I assume they're saying they're okay with people with penises or people with vaginas in their bed. I'm not thinking about gender and how they're represented. Right. But when you're talking pan, you're talking about their gender and their sex not matching.
And it doesn't, basically, it doesn't matter whether it does. Right. And for me, it's like, if it was a trans woman who presented incredibly hyper-feminine, she would completely not even hit my radar.
Yeah.
Same thing with a trans man.
Mm-hmm.
I like
Let me, like, let's first recognize that you can't, like, people think that they can tell, but you can't
you
tell.
You can't, right. No.
Right.
You know?
Mm.
Like that,
no, for sure.
That's kind of why I was saying what I was saying, just because like hyper feminine woman, hyper masculine man, not on my radar whatsoever.
Doesn't matter. You want people who have a little bit of both. Yeah. You want them to present as both masculine and feminine in some ways, so that your brain is like, ooh, what's going on here? Which is why I like androgyny.
Relate to that.
That's why I want to be androgynous so bad, because I like when you see people who are totally fucking over those gender stereotypes.
Yes.
It excites me because to me, it's like this person is just saying fuck you to society. Mm-hmm. I like rebels.
Oh, yeah.
If I could get rid of my breasts and my hips, that would be me.
You already say fuck gender.
I do.
Okay, so I know we're sitting at a timeline here, so I'm going to boost us over to a commercial.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to follow up on these conversations. I know Joe has things to say.
Yes, indeed.
And so we'll turn this over to Joe when we come back. You're listening to Sex Positive Talk. My name's Angel, and we're broadcasting out of aspec.ca.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Moulin Rouge. Where's all my soul sisters? Let me hear your flow, sisters.
Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow, sister. Oh. Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, go.
He met Mama like down in old Moulin Rouge. Strutting her stuff on the street.
She said, hello, hey, Joe. You wanna give it a go?
Get you, yeah, yeah.
Let them know we bout that cake straight out the gate. We independent women, some mistake us for whores. I'm saying, why spend mine when I can spend yours? Disagree? Well, that's you, and I'm sorry. I'ma keep playing these cats out like a tar. High heel shoes, getting love from the dudes. Four badass chicks from the Moulin Rouge.
Hey, sisters, soul sisters.
better get that dough, sisters.
We drink wine with diamonds in a glass by the case, the meaning of expensive taste.
You want an enchilada,
come on,
mocha chocolate.
What?
Rio Lady Mama.
One more time, come on.
Aspec is hosting a Sibian rodeo. If you don't know what a Sibian is, you need to come check this out. Sibians are known for being the one and only multiple orgasmic machine that persons with a vulva can sit on and ride the waves of pleasure. Check out the new and exciting event at Aspec, www.aspecc.ca/Sibian-rodeo.
Click when these breaks coming through yelling. boys get no love. Fuck boys get no love. Fuck boys get no love. Fuck boys get no love.
Welcome back to Sex Positive Talk. My name's Angel. I'm your host today. I use she or they pronouns. I'm sitting here with Joe, who uses he, him, and Nyx, who uses they, them. And we were talking about discovering what your sexuality and gender is later on in life and how the terms change meaning and all that kind of stuff. And I had to cut Joe off because we had to go to a commercial break so that y'all don't get bored. And I just want to turn the microphone over to you.
Thank you very much. As the white male in the room, I definitely feel a little affronted at being cut off, but that's fine. I'm okay now.
Oh my God, I love it.
I still carry privilege with me, and if I can't laugh about it, then there's no point. I
totally get it.
One of the things that I find really fascinating about the young whippersnappers in the queer community, and what really grabs me, is that because when the terms homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual, and to a certain extent gay and lesbian, like, these were not terms we chose. We did not create these terms. They were created by outside and applied to us. Gay and lesbian, in a way, were reclaimed. Queer, in a way, is reclaimed. But these, I mean, we've made these our words, but they're sort of not our words. But it feels like, in a way, I'm not going to get into pansexual because I tried to Google when pansexual came from, and apparently there's a lot of conversation about that, so I'm going to skip that. But certainly a lot of the words around gender are coming from us. We're talking about it. Like, this is how I feel.
Like, here's us as in?
Us as in the queer community.
Okay.
People who...
Rather than pathologized onto us.
Exactly. Or coming, even if it's not pathologized, coming from somebody who identifies as very cisgendered, but is like, okay, so I'm going to classify people who aren't like me. Instead, I feel this way, so I'm going to create this term that sort of describes how I feel. Does this describe how other people feel? Okay, well, it doesn't quite. Let's tweak it.
Like genderqueer, non-binary, and exactly. Agender, and yeah.
Exactly.
Gender fae.
Gender fae.
Demisexual. Aromantic. Like, all of those are defined. Yeah, like, yeah. That's really exciting.
And it's a lot easier to... I think it's a lot easier and a lot better to get excited about these terms that we create. Because they're coming... They're not just coming from us as a community, but they're coming from us as individuals. And that's always a more powerful space to come from when we're talking about definitions, when we're talking about labels, when we're talking about expression, than something that we have to make fit us.
Meow. It just feels really big right now.
Yeah. I know we talk a lot about this on our show and at Aspec in general and in our workshops, but I just really want people who are in their late 30s and up-ish to take a minute to actually honor that the younger generations have done a lot of emotional labor. Yes. And they have to deal with the internet. Mm-hmm. So they don't get to walk away from that labor. Like when I first started doing activism when I was a teenager, you chose, right? Like, you would go out to the protest, you'd make your sign, you'd do your big fuck you to whatever system you were bucking, and then you would go home and you didn't have to explain yourself to everybody because they didn't know. And now, I mean, you can't turn on your phone without having to defend your queerness.
Yeah.
It's a constant conversation, and they're doing that labor, and they're real kicking ass at it too.
Yes, they are.
I'm in awe of the younger generation, honestly. And you watch them come in here, and I was in my 30s the first time I volunteered for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we got kids coming in here at 17 and volunteering.
I've been volunteering since I was 9. So
it's like a totally different world.
It is. It really is.
And they're making it that way. Like, we didn't do that for them.
Nope.
And it's a damn shame that we didn't.
Yeah.
You know, we were too busy in our own closets, not even knowing that we were in there to pave the road for the youth.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to take away from the older queer folks who took to the streets and got arrested and lost people to the AIDS epidemic and fought the government that wouldn't support them. Like, we know that we can have these conversations because they did that, yes. that life derailing work.
Mm-hmm.
But youth have changed the face of activism.
Yes. And the face of the conversation.
Yeah. But there's my little soapbox.
Yeah.
And
just a quick message out to those youth. Watch out for burnout. It sneaks up on you.
You're allowed to just be queer.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be queer and have your flag on all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I know we've talked about this before, but we've talked a lot about sexuality. And I'd like to kick it over to gender for mm-hmm. our last thing. Because I know I'm 48 this year. And I have always hated everything that being a woman stands for because I'm not fucking helpless. I'm not useless with tools. I don't need a man to look after me. I don't need to giggle at your ridiculous jokes that you feel like your penis is bigger. Like, none of these things have ever appealed to me. And I don't like masculinity either. I don't think being born with a penis means you have to be a rude ignoramus.
Yes.
Violent and uncontrolling of yourself and controlling everyone else around you. I've never liked these boxes, but it's only been this last year here at Aspect where I've been really questioning my own pronouns and whether or not I want to reject that box entirely. Even though I've used the word woman to describe myself my whole life, right? And I know that you, Nyx, have a lot to say on this topic.
Yeah, like I mentioned, I really didn't identify with either gender. Didn't fit any of the stereotypes or the roles that they wanted me to fit into. I really like frilly dresses, and I really like baggy clothes that don't show off my shape. Like, I want to be able to flip. So I didn't meet my first trans person until my fourth year of university. I switched from one university that was Christian to another university that was not. And I joined the GSA there, and my first day there, I was introduced to a person who was a year on testosterone, was going in for their bottom surgery, and we did a coming out forum together, and I didn't realize how transphobic some of the words were coming out of my mouth were, because I grew up in a really conservative town.
Yeah.
And then I liked trans, but I always had that binary concept in my head. And I still don't identify masculine. And so I came to Aspect, and all of a sudden there were non-binary folk everywhere. And I was like, oh, I feel safe here. I don't know why. And then one day in therapy, I was defending someone from some transphobia, and the therapist was like, why? Why are you so angry? And I was like, well, because this is what I do at Aspect. They're like, no, what is this about you? And I went, oh, now I have to face this.
Yeah.
The next day I came to Aspect and was like, hey, so I use they, them pronouns now. Checked in with my partners first, had a conversation with them about exploring it, heard they, them pronouns used for me for the first time, burst out in tears, and went, yes. Yeah, this is me. This is who I've always been. It was a little bit of a struggle for Kate. She had just come into her own sexuality, and all of a sudden I was changing who I was, even though I wasn't.
But I'm still me in here.
Yeah. So she did the whole, you're the person I love. I can, you know, still identify the way I identify. I still love you. It's fine. I was like, oh, thank goodness. As I'm exploring non-binary, I've discovered the concept of demigirl. And I feel like that fits me more than just straight non-binary. But to not confuse people, I just identify as non-binary. Demi Girl kind of like embraces the femininity side, but also like acknowledges the fact that I have no gender. I just kind of like to be feminine sometimes and then go back to neutral.
So big fuck you to the gender stereotypes, but I still get to claim femininity.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mm. So
fucking like it.
Yeah. So I like we were doing, Angel and I were doing a project for gender to present to an organization in the city, and came across the umbrella of non-binary terms, and I had seen Demi Girl in the past, but I saw it again and did more research and was like, yeah, that's me. So there's just like things, like it's an ever evolving thing. It doesn't stop. So
yeah, exactly.
I have to add this little bit on here because I know this is the part I really struggle with, because I really dislike those gender boxes. I really disagree that your body parts or being a man or a woman means that you have all these traits. And I've had a couple trans folks remind me that because I feel that way doesn't mean I should project that. So while we're talking about bucking those stereotypes, if that stereotype calls to you and like the healthy parts of that stereotype, like, please, you don't have to be hyper anything.
Absolutely.
But like, if you're like, I'm a woman, I'm soft, I'm feminine, I'm nurturing, and if that's what calls to you, like, we support you
in
using a label in the context of that label that fits you.
Absolutely.
It's just when society says, hey, we're shoving you in this box, that it becomes a problem, right? Whether that's the heterosexual box or the, you know, guy girl box or whatever. So for anybody out there who is older when they figured out that maybe straight's not the right word for them, maybe they're not actually cisgender, or maybe they're asexual, or anything that puts you on that queer umbrella, that's okay. Sexuality is fluid, and the more you learn about life, the more your own idea about yourself is going to reflect that learned experience.
Yes.
And if you need a safe place to explore that, we're here for you, whether that's online or in person, and we can help you find your own queer community if you can't find it. Hey, any final last words? We got 10 seconds. Everybody looks at me like,
ah. Yay, gender!
Yay, gender! That's perfect. Yay, sexuality.
Absolutely. And to human diversity. If you'd like more information on this or any other topic, you can check us out at www.aspecc.ca. Click the resources tab. We've got information for you. And if there's anything you'd like to see added to it, feel free to hit us up. This is Angel from Sex Positive Talk wishing you a sex positive day.
When it's late at night and you're fast asleep.
scream. Me vengo, me vengo. I'm restless. You need some caffeine. I'm wasted. If you could only see. Cause I need more than you are gonna give.
Are you looking to try something new, but not too scary? We've got a sexual adventure for you. Three candles, all very low temperature, different colors, for an exciting, sensual experience. www.eroticcandle.com.
Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center, a nonprofit organization in Edmonton that offers workshops, socials, and so much more. Everything here is so shame-free, from our education classes on how to give an erotic spanking to how to talk to your kids about gender and sex. Check us out at www.aspecc.ca.
Rub, 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 bitch, rub. Tail on my pussy, whistle blow my clit. Watch it open up, cause it can't keep a secret. Tail on my pussy, whistle blow my clit. Watch it open up, cause it can't keep a secret. Circle jerk girls who spray. We got a male in the middle and we bukkake. I'm feeling good on an edible. I'm out if the hole is forgettable. Come with me, you know me. Feel free, peachy. Come with me, you know me. Feel free.
Can't talk.
Feel free.
Come with me.
H. Rub.
Hold up. So what you're saying is,
niggas got me pissed like little pimps.
I cried.
Places, seen a lot of faces. Uh-huh. Oh hell, I even fuck with different races. A white dude, his name was John. He had a Queen Bee Rules tattoo on his arm. Uh-huh. He asked me if I'd be his day for the prom, and he'd buy me a horse, a portion of farm. Bam, a nigga from down south used to like me to spank him and come in his mouth. And Thorny, he was a thot. Uh-huh. He didn't give a fuck, that's what I liked about him. Uh-huh. He ate my pussy from dark to the morning. Called this girl up and told her we was boning. Puerto Rican Bobby used to be a deacon, but now he be sucking me off on the weekend. And this black dude I call King Kong, he had a big ass dick and a hurricane tongue.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the
house? I got to, you know.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the
house? Tell me.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house? How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house?
Goes out to my niggas in jail, beating they dicks to the double XL magazine. You like how I look in the aqua green? Get your Vaseline, roll some weed with some tissue and close your eyes. And imagine your tongue in between my thighs.
CO, open up, cell block 8.
Alright, that's enough. Stop, look and listen, get back to your position. Kim got your dick hard, start fights in the yard. Oh. Hotter than a Pop-Tart, fresh out of the toaster. Niggas do anything for a little Kim poster. Essays, Bloods, Crips, all the thugs up north in the hole. They all wanna know.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house?
Tell me.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house?
Tell me.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house? How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house?
In the street, hold on to your seat. Niggas, grab your meat while I ride the beat. And if you see a shiny black Lamborghini fly by you, that's me the night ride. Dressed in all black with the gat in the lat. Lunatics in the street, gotta keep the heat. 60 on the bezel, 100 on the ring. Sitting pretty baby with a cash money bling. 12 a.m., I'm on my way to the club. After 3 bottles, I'll be ready to fuck. Some niggas even put me on the grocery list, right next to the whipped cream and box of chocolate. Designer pussy, my shit come in flavors. High class taste, niggas got to spend paper. Live it right the first time, or you gotta do it over. Like it's rehearsal for a Tootsie commercial.
How many licks does it take to get to the center? How many licks does it take till you get to the center? Does it take till you get to the center of the house?